Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all of the parts your car will ever need. I'm here with Charles T. Hamilton. We're going to do a pre-lottery mock draft. So to recap, the Warriors have a 14% chance of landing the top pick, a 40.1% chance of a top three pick, and they're guaranteed not to fall out of the top five in tonight's draft lottery. The only team guaranteed not to fall out of the top five. The lottery starts tonight, 5:30 Pacific time on ESPN. So even though the Warriors have the worst record in the league, they actually have a better chance to land the fifth pick than they do the first pick, right? Two other teams have equal odds to get the first pick at 14%. So to demonstrate that, Charles, I'm on tankathon.com. I'm going to simulate the lottery three times. And then you and I are going to take turns picking the top five. So let's do the first simulation. I'm going to hit it right here, tankathon.com. Boom. The top five. The Charlotte Hornets move up seven spots all the way to number one. Atlanta moves up to number two. The Warriors have the third pick. Chicago has the fourth pick. And Cleveland moves down three spots at number five. So, Charles, you're the Charlotte Hornets. Who do you pick at number one?
Yeah, a lot of pressure on this one. My pick would be Anthony Edwards. I think he has kind of edged out LaMelo Ball, and James Wiseman is the top guy in the draft. But again, this is going to be one of the weirdest drafts we've ever seen, just because there's not going to be a scouting combine. Is Anthony Edwards actually 6'5"? Is he more like 6'3"? If he's closer to 6'3", how do you feel about pairing two undersized guards with him and Devontae Graham? His weight is also in question as well. And there's questions about his game. He's inefficient, but he does have probably the highest ceiling out of those top three guys. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards would be my pick, but if I'm Michael Jordan picking, I think it's James Wiseman, because I don't know if he wants to double up on guards. And I think the idea of adding a center on this team like James Wiseman, and the idea of pairing him with your point guard, Devontae Graham, would be enticing to him, would be kind of old school ball where you need a guard and a five. So I'm going to go with James Wiseman. I know I just went off on Anthony Edwards too, but I think Jordan would go with a guy like Wiseman.
I think you're right. If the Hornets end up with the number one pick, Wiseman would be the guy. He solves a lot of their needs. They have rebounding issues, major defensive issues. It's easy enough to just see it, right? With just Devontae Graham, James Wiseman, pick and roll, or just do that 1-5 pick and roll over and over again. Maybe you don't want to invest in a guard because Graham has been as good as he has. They did just spend a lot of money on Terry Rozier. So if James Wiseman goes number one, I'm the Atlanta Hawks at number two, and Anthony Edwards is sitting there, that's an easy call. I'm taking Anthony Edwards from the Hawks. He fits exactly what the Hawks like to do, which is basically what the Warriors like to do, right? Ball movement, motion offense, a bunch of versatile wings. They need help defensively. Anthony Edwards at least theoretically helps there, like you mentioned before. How big is he really? That's going to matter in a lot of these teams' evaluations. But if I'm Atlanta and I move up to number two, up two spots from number four, then now I have an opportunity to get one of these consensus top three guys. You just do it. Even though I think there are better one-on-one defenders, and that's really where the Hawks are looking for, was wing defenders. Mm-hmm. You can't pass up Anthony Edwards' upside and talent. So if I'm them, I do that. And it's easy to imagine, if Anthony Edwards works out, a pretty strong backcourt of Trae Young and Anthony Edwards. So you're lucky. You get to be the Golden State Warriors at number three. Who do you take now that James Wiseman and Anthony Edwards are off the board?
Well, this is kind of my new thing here. It's a player I've kind of fallen in love with. And Wiseman and Edwards would have been intriguing. I'm not a LaMelo Ball guy at all. I know he's got some serious vision and passing and all that. I just think there's too many flaws to his game. For me, it's Tyrese Halliburton. I really like the guy. He, you know, again, these measurements, we don't know, but they have him at 6'5". He is pretty slender at 175, but a 6'8 wingspan. He's got a really well-rounded game. You know how much I like shooting. He's a capable shooter, even though it looks a little funky. I think he shot 43% from three in 2 years in college. Not a huge sample, but enough to where I believe in him. And he's also got, you know, some of the playmaking, if not the same playmaking ability as LaMelo Ball. Close to, you know, I think it probably is the same. It's just LaMelo Ball might be a little more flashy, and he's big enough to project as a good defender. He's fine now, but you can see him getting better because of that, the height and the wingspan and everything. I've just become a big fan of his, and I would take the what might look like a reach right now. He'd be my guy at three.
No, welcome to the Halle bandwagon.
Thank you.
I've been on the Halliburton thing this whole time. All the reasons you just said. Yeah, he doesn't have the flashy YouTube reel and the name that LaMelo Ball has, right? Just as genius level as a passer. Just as good. Mm-hmm. And he's more than any of these guys. We talk about a guy like James Wiseman who played 69 minutes in college. You know, a guy like Anthony Edwards who was productive, but definitely you're projecting a more efficient Anthony Edwards at the NBA level if you're picking him number one or number two or whatever. And then you've got all these other guys that have their names in the mix, like Killian Hayes, Denny Avija, Isaac Okoro. Like, a lot of these guys are sort of theoretically, you know, they were somewhat productive, especially Denny was definitely productive, but you're still talking about them in a theoretical sense.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton was productive in 2 years at Iowa State, especially this last year at Iowa State. Like, he was good, and he led Iowa State to a lot of wins. I mean, he had success, and the Warriors typically like that. If you judge based on their first-round picks and their second-round picks in the past, they like to see productivity. They like to see something proven as far more so than theoretical sometimes. And I actually am pretty high on Halliburton's upside. I know a lot of people aren't. There's some concerns with his overall size. He's only like 175 pounds, but he's long. He's got great basketball IQ, great basketball feel. He's a better scorer than people give him credit for. Like, he's a good three-point shooter, no doubt, but he's got a really good in-between game. He's got a floater. He can finish. When I look at those guys, I think back to like when CJ McCollum was coming out of Lehigh and everybody was wondering about his upside, but he's a borderline all-star guard right now and one of the top scorers in the league. And he's not a super athlete, right? He doesn't have great size, but he's got great feel. He's got great footwork, and Halliburton has those things too. I think if Golden State had him, he can come in right away, be your backup point guard or shooting guard. He can definitely provide ball handling, which the Warriors desperately need. And he's a guy who can come in, kind of take advantage of second units as a backup, but also play alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson because he can guard three different positions and provide extra ball handling and not you know, cramp the floor because he has that 3-point shooting. It just makes a lot of sense and unlocks a lot of interesting lineups. So
yeah,
I love the Halliburton pick. The other, I don't know what other guys you would think of at this point. I think Denny Avija would probably be in the mix here. Maybe a guy like Devin Vassell. Maybe a Sadiq Bey, Isaac Okoro, and we're talking about all these other wings there, even or center like Onyeka Okongwu, if they're not completely sold on Kevon Looney's long-term health, but I do think Halliburton's the right pick.
Yeah, I think it's Halliburton, and you mentioned immediate contribution. The thing I like about him and some of these other guys you mentioned, like Vassell and Sadiq Bey, who, you know, Bey probably later in the lottery, Vassell, you know, who knows? Again, this is all going to work itself out in the next couple months, but it's immediate contributions on both ends of the floor. You know, a guy like Isaac Okoro, you're mostly getting defense, which is great. You're going to get that from him, but you don't need someone who can't space the floor. You know, you run into the problem of, can you play him with Draymond? Can you play him with Pascal? Where a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, not just because of the shooting, obviously, he brings a whole lot more. Like you said, immediately your backup point guard or two guard if they want to give Jordan Poole the initial chance to be the backup point guard. But it's immediate contribution on both ends.
We'll do our second mock draft next. But first, start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world.
Let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. That's a long time. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup you'd find at traditional chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
So the Warriors picked at number 3. I think we could just skip over the 4th and 5th pick. No reason to do it since we've already picked the Warriors. Let's simulate our second lottery here. All right, Atlanta moves up 3 spots to number 1. The Warriors have the 2nd pick in the draft, and then it's Detroit, Minnesota, and Cleveland. You went number 1 last time, Charles, so I'll go number, you know what? You can't pick for the Warriors.
Yeah,
so
no,
you go
right?
again. Number 1. You have the Hawks number 1.
All right. Well, you know, Anthony Edwards was the pick last time because I went Wiseman, so I'll try and switch it up here and let's go with LaMelo Ball. James Wiseman, I thought about, but they already have
Clint Capella.
Clint Capella. They have Damian Jones, which who knows what his deal is, but they have a Dwayne Dedman as well. We'll see what happens with John Collins, which is something that I think the Warriors should keep an eye on. Nothing definite happening there, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe there's a move to be made eventually, but we'll go with LaMelo Ball. The bottom line is he is 6'8", 190, 6'10 wingspan. He's got the measurables that you would want in a 2-guard. The problem is he's another point guard. So how is the fit with Trae Young, who really needs the ball in his hand? Do you believe that it might open up some of Trae Young's shooting because, you know, he can be a spot-up shooter with LaMelo making plays? The size works for this team where Trae Young is so small and then you could have a guy like LaMelo playing with him. Or, you know, that's the future. Does he come in immediately as just a backup point guard and you have another good facilitator on the floor when Trae Young's out? You know, Wiseman, again, is interesting, but they're not going to stack centers like that, especially with the number one overall pick. So I'll go with LaMelo Ball here.
I don't mind the pick. I think they could go Anthony Edwards, obviously, with this pick. That we went Anthony Edwards when they had the number 2 pick, and he was still, and both Ball and Anthony Edwards were on the board in the first mock draft we did. But just for the sake of mixing it up, I appreciate it. And look, it's not – I mean, it sounds crazy at first, but – if you're the Hawks and your strategy is, okay, let's just be off the charts in genius passing. Boom, Trae Young, LaMelo Ball. We'll just be the best passing team in the league. Let's just do that. The size is there where he could, you know, potentially develop into a plus defender. He needs, you know, he's not the greatest athlete, but he's good enough to be above average on that end and he's got enough length to potentially even be good at that end. He just needs to show some interest.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Trae Young's a great 3-point shooter. LaMelo Ball being there will allow him to sort of do the Steph Curry impression, run off screens and do these things while LaMelo Ball gets him the ball in space. And then when Trae Young's off the court, you can always have LaMelo in there running your offense. So you always have, you know, this next level, genius level passer running your offense. It's not a terrible idea. It's good for the sake of interesting. But with the Warriors, the 2nd pick now, that leaves Anthony Edwards on the board. I think the Warriors would take Anthony Edwards if they had the number 1 pick. If he's there at number 2, great. It's an easy choice here for the Warriors over James Wiseman. I still don't think the Warriors are very interested in Wiseman. And I think they are very much interested in Anthony Edwards at the top of this draft. So if he's there, he's your perfect balance of come in and contribute right away. He can come in, play the wing. He can slash to the basket in space playing next to Steph and Clay. He can, just like we talked about with Haliburton, he can dominate second units. I mean, what a great fit for Anthony Edwards coming into the NBA, right? Not only a great fit for the Warriors, but for Anthony Edwards, where if he's drafted to Cleveland or Detroit or New York or whatever, he's going to have to lead first unit offenses and go against, you know, starting defenses every night. And if he were drafted to the Warriors, he can come in off the bench. He can just pounce on opposing second unit defenses, can be highly productive in that role. But also, because of his physical profile and his switchability and versatility, play alongside Steph and Clay and Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green in a pretty interesting and physically imposing sort of death lineup there. And he's got enough of an upside where, yeah, Haliburton can come in and play right away, right? And I like his upside, but, you know, I could be wrong, and teams seem pretty mixed on Halliburton's upside. And there's a lot of other guys in this draft who, yeah, they probably could slide in and you could plug and play them as a 3-and-D guy or whatever. When we're talking about like the Sadiq Bays and the Devin Vassells of the world, even though I'm pretty high in Vassell, but Edwards is that guy who can come in, do those plug and play things, but has this upside that everybody keeps talking about, which is why he's number one on so many draft boards, where when in 2, 3, 4 years, when Steph, Clay, and Draymond are sort of fading into the next stage of their careers, Anthony Edwards might be developing into an all-star caliber player.
No doubt. And here's the other thing with it, too, that is intriguing to me about this draft and what the Warriors are going to do is a guy like Edwards might have the highest trade value in a year or two as well.
That's
a good point. A guy who can come in and get you 15 to 20 points in his first 2 years, regardless of efficiency, is going to have a pretty high trade value. Like Andrew Wiggins, after his first couple years, was still looked at as a high value player. And him over a guy like LaMelo Ball, where it'll be, you know, his passing, but that's about it. Can't get you buckets. That value is not going to be as high. You know, maybe we overvalue scores in the league still, but that's just how it is. A guy with stats is going to be more valuable on the trade market than anyone else. But again, also, he does have a high upside. He could be the heir apparent to this Warriors team, the next face of the team. You know, do they take advantage of this high pick that they have? And, you know, most likely won't be having a lot of other high lottery picks to, you know, go into that next phase eventually, help this team and then eventually make it his team. All the things you said, yeah, he'll come in, pretty much be the sixth man. He'll dominate second units, get to the rim. He's an explosive athlete, which is another thing that the Warriors do need. So it's a good pick. And, you know, in this scenario, he fell to two. I think it's an easy pick, too. If he gets to two, you're happy about it. He's not Luka, but don't blow it like, you know, the Kings did by not taking the guy that fell to you.
We'll do our third and final mock draft next.
Let's talk about DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right, Charles, so we've done two of our mock drafts. First one, the Warriors end up with Tyrese Haliburton with the third pick. And the second one, Anthony Edwards drops to them, and they're able to grab them at number two. Let's go ahead and simulate our third and final mock draft. Okay, so the Detroit Pistons move up four spots and end up with the first pick. Minnesota leaps the Warriors. They end up with the second pick. The Warriors fall back to number three. Charlotte is at number four. Cleveland at number five. So Detroit, Minnesota, Golden State, Charlotte. Cleveland, Charles, you've got the first pick. Detroit Pistons are on the clock.
Detroit Pistons. I think it'd be funny to give them James Wiseman just because, you know, it's Detroit and, you know, it'd be funny for them to take another center. But no, it's Anthony Edwards for all the reasons we mentioned, especially for a team like Detroit who needs a face of the franchise. I know they have Blake Griffin, but, you know, he's older. He's missing a ton of games. He's got a $1 billion contract. This is exactly what they need, a guy to come in, add some excitement to the team. Like I said, give them, you know, 15, 20 points a game, maybe win Rookie of the Year, give them some hope there. It's Anthony Edwards. That's a no-brainer for Detroit.
And I think they could have went with LaMelo Ball here, too. They're in need of a point guard, a guy who can run some pick and roll with or in pick and pop with Blake Griffin, having developed as a three-point shooter over the last couple of years. But I think Anthony Edwards... It kind of, if you're the Pistons, it depends on your evaluation of both of those players' upside. I could see them going in either direction here. And then with Minnesota at the second pick, which is where I'm at, whoever they don't take is, I think, who the Timberwolves would take. Because you can also argue Minnesota, they have a case to take either one of those guys. And with LaMelo on the board, I think they take him. Look, they traded for D'Angelo Russell. I understand that. But LaMelo Ball can still come in and improve that offense. They want to run a motion offense. They want to be maybe they want to be one of the best five offenses in the league. And you can still envision a world just like where the Hawks took LaMelo and played him with Trae Young. There's a way that LaMelo and D'Angelo Russell can coexist, I think, in a backcourt. And that's some pretty decent size. If you could just get any of them to play defense at any point in a game, it could work. And I just
like the last 2 minutes of the fourth.
Right. I don't see Minnesota. You could make the argument that they take James Wiseman here. I just think with Karl Anthony Towns, they don't necessarily need to go that direction. Maybe they pair Towns with a guy like Obi Toppin, but I'm just not convinced in Obi Toppin's upside. They could go in another direction with Denny Avija. They could do all these other things, but I just think they probably just, you know, hold their nose and take LaMelo Ball here, which puts the Warriors back on the clock at number three. And we're in a similar situation as where we were last time, Charles, where Tyrese Halliburton's on the board, but for the sake of mixing it up, let's go in a different direction.
Let's do it. I am going to throw a name out there, and I also want to get your opinion. Let's go Wiseman. I mean, at what point, and this is the question I have for you, because I absolutely agree with the fact that the Warriors just aren't going to pay a center number one overall pick money. Even if they like him, they're just not going to pay that position. At what point do you think the Warriors would take Wiseman? Would it be within the top five? Would they have to trade down to do it?
I think they would pay a center first round money if that center were Karl Anthony Towns, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But James Wiseman isn't Karl Anthony Towns. I got a comment on Twitter because I pair the big comparison I see with James Wiseman is Rudy Gobert, just from a size 7'1", 240. That's like basically Rudy Gobert size. And so he projects easily as a rim protector like that. I just don't see that out of him. Like Gobert is more than just size, right? He is transcendent defensive IQ and instincts. And he's one of the greatest rim protectors we've ever seen, right? One of the greatest, like two-time defensive player of the year. Hassan Whiteside is the same size, and he's probably going to be signed to a minimum contract this summer. Nobody wants him. Wiseman, to me, is closer to Whiteside than he is Gobert. And so I think we can, you know, people, when they're doing their evaluations of Wiseman, can sort of talk themselves into, well, if you put Rudy Gobert in the middle for the Warriors, how unstoppable would they be? I just don't see him. Now, obviously, that comes down to the individual team's evaluation of Wiseman. So I do think that there would be a point that the Warriors would have to get to. Like, the lowest they could fall is five. I still think they like five players more than Wiseman. And so it would have to take them trading down. I just still don't see it. I think Onyeka Okongwu, the center out of USC, he would be higher on my board if I were the Warriors, just because he does all the things that Kevon Looney does, but, you know, has way more upside and is presumably healthy, which is the big question with Looney. And if they're not buying into Looney's long-term health, then they can just look to replace him with Okongwu, who is, you know, the switchable pick and roll defender, good rebounder, good passer, good feel for the game, good footwork, all these things, and a way better athlete than Looney is. He can actually jump more than 3 inches. So I do think that just out of centers, I don't even think Wiseman would be the first center that the Warriors would take. But it's an interesting thought exercise. And go ahead.
I was going to say, let's do this, because I really just wanted to ask you about Wiseman. Let's switch that pick up, because I agree. I don't think they would take him at three. I just wanted to see what do you think the point is that they would take him?
Well, the other thing is, though, like, if you buy into Wiseman's upside, right, and people think he could be this floor-spacing big, which, again, I'm not all in on. He shot 50% on free throws in AAU, which is, like, all of the information we have on this guy. Granted, it's not great info, but just because he took three-pointers doesn't mean he should be taking three-pointers. Like, it doesn't make him this, like, stretch five. And I started mentioning this earlier. I got a comment on Twitter that said, I compared him to Gobert, and this other guy compared him to, like, Kevin Garnett. I was like, are you crazy? Like, he's not Kevin Garnett. And that's when we start getting in trouble. Look at what's actually happening here.
Yeah.
And so I think, to me, he's more of like an Andre Drummond type, where he can walk in, he could probably get you 18 points and 18 rebounds, but isn't going to help all that much in the playoff situation. But if you're the Warriors and you are in on James Wiseman and you're buying into the outside jumper and you think he could be this versatile guy and you're just, hey, he's 7'1". He is a tremendous athlete, which he is. He runs the floor like a gazelle, which he does. Like, if you just want to bet on that, given that it's not a great draft class, and you're just like, let's just take the biggest, most athletic guy in the class and just bet on that working, then maybe they do that. And Bob Myers said on his conference call Monday, they want a guy with upside, which to me was very enlightening, which I wrote about for the Mercury News. But Wiseman has upside if you're buying into it. And so I still don't think the Warriors view him very highly as a front office. But it's, again, the thought exercise of, okay, at what point do you start sacrificing immediate contributions for a guy with real upside? Because these chances in the top five don't come very often. But you wanted to switch it up. Go ahead and switch it up. Who are the Warriors taking at three?
Yeah, well, let me just say real quick, I agree with your point that obviously if it was Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or someone with an actual, you know, offensive skill set, yes. But I think if the upside, if the ceiling is Rudy Gobert, no offense to Rudy Gobert, who's obviously, you know, a transcendent defensive player, they're not interested. So right. I agree with you on that. If there was scoring upside and, you know, scoring skill that we saw, sure, but it's just not there. He's a DeAndre Jordan type, which a little too high. We'll go Denny Avdia right now. Slide him in there at pick number three, right? They're picking third right now.
Yep.
Slide him in there. Wing from a Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's 6'9", has a 6'9 wingspan, which is fine. It's you know, you like a guy to have a longer wingspan than his height. But again, when you're 6'9", that works. I think a lot of his a lot of the intrigue from him is his size. You know, his shot has gotten a little better recently, but he's a guy who is a poor free throw shooter and a poor 3-point shooter, and those usually coincide to project that if you're a good free throw shooter, you can fix your 3-point shot. So that makes me a little nervous. But he's also kind of a plus size point guard at times. You know, he can run the pick and roll. He's a solid passer, good playmaker, good feel for the game. He's solid around the rim too. Good enough defender as a, you know, 19-year-old. But the only thing that makes me nervous about that is the fact that, you know, again, lack of floor spacing. And I have a thing where, look, it would be great to have a 6'9 small forward, but most guys that hit that height usually end up playing the four. I mean, there's Paul George, Kevin Durant, and then that's kind of where I lose it. You know, Gallinari maybe, but I think he's better suited to the four as well.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that makes me nervous about it is you get this guy projecting him as a wing, as a three, but then he just gets added to the backlog at the four. But again, talk about upside. He's got it. He's got plenty of it.
Yeah, and I think his floor is pretty high just because he's a very high IQ player, really good passer, can just do enough offensively where I think he's going to make an impact. I had Jonathan Charks on a few weeks ago, and he sort of compared his floor to Dario Saric, which, you know, Saric is playing center right now for Phoenix, but just as far as an impact, like what kind of impact he can make, I think you could put Avdija in the post, let him facilitate out of there, and then just hit some shots now and then from, you know, from the painted area. That's not a bad player, right? Like average defender, it's not a bad player. It's not as good. It's not what you want out of the top five, but it's not a bad player. Mm-hmm. But his upside, I think, is pretty tremendous. I mean, you mentioned a guy like Paul George. That, to me, is the upside for Denny Avdija.
Yeah.
And look, I mentioned this on a podcast earlier this week, but, you know, he's on Instagram and putting out YouTube videos and stuff of him taking three-pointers over and over again, which, look, you can doctor those videos. You can cut them up and just show a bunch of makes and cut out all the misses. But at least it shows he knows it's a priority for him, right? Yeah. He's working on it. That to me, is the most important thing there. And I think if he continues to work on it and he's going to get a lot of open shots in Golden State, then it could come along. I buy into his shot. I think the stroke looks good. I think his feel is good enough where I trust his ability to get better at things. And defensively, yeah, he's not as good as you'd like, but I still, when you got great basketball IQ and basketball feel, that usually translates to both ends.
Exactly.
Right. And so you put him within the Golden State system or within an NBA coaching system, and I trust him to get better. He's 6'9". I think his frame still has some room to get bigger. I see him being able to play the four at some point, and the league tends to be going smaller, not bigger. So, you know, as he's one of the youngest guys in the draft, as he gets older and he fills into his frame, I think he'll be able to play the four. I'm pretty confident in that. But to go back to the Paul George comparison, you know, best case scenario for Paul George is he's not your primary option. He's your secondary option. He can run off ball stuff, but he can also run pick and roll for you. He can do little side pick and rolls and stuff like that. He could be, you know, a secondary scorer, like an overvalued secondary scorer in Paul George's case, but thrives in those situations. I could see Denny playing the three and being that second part of the pick and roll with Steph Curry, like Kevin Durant was. Remember that debt? Like that was just their ace in the whole play.
Yeah.
Like obviously Denny's not going to walk in and be KD or have that effect, but he could develop into that. right, where he's setting screens, and then or Steph is setting screens for him, and now he's able to use his ability to finish at the rim, very physical finisher at the rim, and just get to the basket. I'm glad you brought up Denny and you picked him here in this version of the mock, because I think he's very much in play for the Warriors in the top five. But let's wrap this thing up. And I think the key thing here, Charles, to point out is that we did three mock drafts. We simulated three different mock drafts here on Tankathon, and not once did the Warriors end up with the first pick. So when we go into the draft lottery tonight, just remember, yeah, the Warriors have the worst record in the league, but that doesn't give them a better chance to get number one than any of the top four teams in the lottery. The real advantage they have to being the worst team is that they are guaranteed to stay within the top five. They're the only team in the lottery that are guaranteed to have a top five pick. You know, Minnesota, Atlanta, Cleveland, these other teams can still fall out of the top five. So that's really where we're at. And the Warriors, in our case, never fell below three. So that'll do it for these mock drafts. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Get your questions in after the lottery, as soon as it's over. Because I'm going to have a mailbag on Monday of next week answering all of your post-lottery questions. Thanks, Charles, for joining the show. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe.